Bruchim Abayim to the eighth in a continuing series of lectures on the Tamei Mitzvahs, the reasons underlying the mitzvahs and those chapters where the Rambam speaks about it in the Mirah Nevuchim, the Guide for the Perplexed. We're up to chapter 30, that is Perek Lamed, I'm in the Schwartz edition, on page 529. We're going to see over here that the Rambam is going to actually base his claims in the readings of the Chumash. In other words, up till now, as we've seen in several chapters, the Rambam has mentioned that the Torah refers to the mitzvahs, right, as being Rambam mentioned that in chapter 25, right? Hatzur tamim pa'aloi, kol derach of mishpat. In other words, the Rambam has brought verses that, in fact, that, for example, the Rambam in chapter 26 has brought verses chukim mishpatim tzadikim. So, for example, kilo davareku. The Rambam has brought many psukim, many verses, from which he's used as a basis for understanding the fact that the mitzvahs have a certain rationale, that they're not things which are without any type of underlying reason. However, a good deal of what the Rambam has spoken about, right, has actually been based upon an understanding of God's actions, namely that God's actions are necessarily rational. This he spoke about not only from the standpoint of God's creation, but also from the standpoint of God's commandments themselves, as we spoke about in chapter 26. In chapter 29, the Rambam also invokes verses in the Torah, and these verses of the Torah are coming to prove the Rambam's point that the main thrust of the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu is to eliminate idolatry in the world. So, for example, in chapter 29, Perach of Tes, which is on page 524 of the Schwartz edition, so he brings psukim such as Lo Seilchu B'chukas Hagoy, Asher Ani Mishleach Mipneichem, and then he brings V'ata Yisrael Ma'asher Alokecha Shal Mimach Kim Liyirat Shem Alokecha Nesmod Rechol Avoy Soi Avoy Shem Alokecha V'lovovcha Chol Nafshecha. In other words, different pasukim which indicate that the main thrust of the Torah is to eliminate idolatry. And of course, this is things that Chazal have picked up on in Gemara. As the Gemara says in for example, Horias Daf Ches, that whoever is, that Avodah Zarah includes V'chisishko V'leisiz Kol HaMitzvah Yisrael, and Chazal learned from that the Avodah Zarah is kernel all the mitzvahs. Whoever is made about Avodah Zarah is kaif b'chal Torah kula, and whoever is kaif about Avodah Zarah is made b'chal Torah kula. So in other words, we see that the Rambam has brought psukim number one, which indicate that the mitzvahs have a rational basis, number one. And number two is that the Torah itself is coming primarily or principally to eliminate idolatry. That's what the Rambam has done in the chapters up to and including chapter 29, which we spoke about in the previous lecture, the previous shiur. However, the Rambam is going to take actually a sharper look at the verses in the upcoming chapters. And what I mean by that is chapters 30, 31, and 32. The Rambam is actually going to take psukim, verses of the Torah, and is actually going to try to learn, to try to explore the meaning of the verses as in fact communicating the fact, which is in fact going to be the main thrust of his section of Tamei Mitzvahs, that namely that most chukim in the Torah are actually coming to direct man against Avodah Zarah. In other words, basically the Rambam's point is going to be, the central chapter being chapter 32, that a good deal, if not most of the chukim of the Torah, are either, in addition to trying to better society, are actually coming to wean man off idolatrous practices, and therefore are going to use idolatrous practices, but somehow direct them towards belief in God, towards monotheism. So what the Rambam, in fact, is going to do in chapter 30 and 31 and 32 is a very interesting thing, because up till now, the Rambam's proofs and verses have basically been, in other words, proofs that the Torah understands itself to be rational, or the Torah understands itself to be coming against idolatry. The Rambam, however, in chapters 30, 31, and 32, is going to take a look at verses and understand how the verses themselves seem to imply that the Torah itself is basing itself, I mean, lahavdil, on certain types of idolatrous practices, which the commandments, which the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu, the mitzvahs Hashem, are coming to wean the Jews off idolatry by use of certain types of idolatrous practices and just directing them towards knowledge and belief in the true God. What, I mean, the foundation of the Rambam's thinking is that we're going to have to look at the verses, the psukim, in this type of what's called historicist sense. In other words, the Chumash, even though, the Rambam certainly assumes, and this is clear in all of this from the Rambam, even the Chumash represents the divine, the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was told to him from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Nonetheless, the Chumash is being directed towards the Jewish people within a historical context, and this historical context, this is what I call the historicist interpretation of the simple, the intended meaning of the verses, can actually be gleaned from a careful reading of the Chumash itself. So what the Rambam is going to do is actually teach us how to read the Chumash and put ourselves within the mentality of the Jewish people of Klal Yisrael as they heard the commandments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu within the setting as it was right at around the time of Matan Torah. This is going to be a tremendous and stupendous achievement of the Rambam, something which, you know, perhaps, you know, today in certain scholarly quarters, you know, this has become a standard technique. But the Rambam is actually, the Rambam, you know, in the 12th century, to use such a technique is, in my opinion, extremely revolutionary. So let's see how he does it. Okay, chapter 30. Kasher tizboinen b'deyas atikos psulis elo, says the Rambam, when you reflect upon these ancient beliefs, which are, which we reject, these ancient rejected beliefs, it means these beliefs in, these paganistic beliefs, יסבר לך שהדב המפורסם את האנושים כולם היה שהידי אבוידס הכובם תיושה ותיבון האורץ ותפרנה הרצוס. Basically, in other words, the people who promulgated paganism, right, the Sabians, right, were looking, in fact, to cultivate the land and bring it to fruitful produce. חכמיהם, סגפניהם, או בעלי הירוע, שביניהם היו מטיפים לאנושים, מלנדם היסום שחקלות. They taught their people, you know, was the paganistic scholars, stages, right? They're bali hayra, they're poiskim, right? Were actually commanding people and teaching them agriculture. Shalakim b'tzir shalada, because agriculture, in fact, actually was the mainstay of the economy at that time. Right? Tishalim b'tatzliach b'hetan uvuka sh'rat b'chav sh'tavdu es ha-shemesh v'kachovim. In other words, success in agriculture was guaranteed if and only if they properly worship the sun and the stars. V'im ta'iru es chamosam b'aveiloseichem. And of course, if they bring anger, they get the sun, they get angry at you, right? T'yena ha-rotzei shemem es v'chareivos. Then the world, then actually the lands will become desolate. For example, they said, how come there are things like deserts? Because there's a certain star called Tzedek, and he got mad. He must have gotten mad at those places in the world that are in fact actually deserts and barren. ולכן הלכו מחויסס מים וחוסם עצם וגולם שרקטים בהם. So therefore what happens was that he got mad, and because of that, you know, basically they lost their water supplies, and there were different types, I guess, gulim, I guess, nomads that were living in them. They very much admired, in other words, the paganistic society in its entire hierarchy of priests and arbitrators, legal scholars, very, very much honored farmers. Basically, what they were doing is they were developing land, right, in accordance with the will of the of those, you know, celestial objects which they worshipped. Now, for example, we see, says the Rambam, that we see that many pagans actually, in fact, are mechabed, they actually honor cattle. I think even in India, the cows are sacred animals. The reason is because cows serve as a very important status in agriculture. I'm not sure in India, do they use cows to plow the land? It could possibly be they do. No. I mean, you can't do a vayda with a sacred cow. In any case, the Rambam wants to claim that the honoring of the cow is basically because the cows are very, very important, they're very essential in agriculture, as in plowing. They felt that it's forbidden to slaughter cows, because they're strong, and they actually are very helpful to man in agriculture. Why are the cows, in fact, actually subjugate themselves to human beings, even though so powerful? Because they wish to perform the will of all of the stars which are worshipped, which will ensure the success of agricultural efforts. Since these opinions were very, very, in other words, these opinions, in fact, actually were very popular. In other words, they had temples, and they connected paganistic temples and rituals, in fact, to agriculture. Right? So we have this very important connection. When these pagan people gathered in their temples, so they had speakers, you know, pagan speakers, right? And they would, I guess, they deliver Amos Shmuz, they would deliver, you know, all different types of didactic discourses. And they emphasize to them that if they worship properly, that the rain will come down. The trees will bear fruit. And basically, the ground will be developed and will be fruitful and give forth bounty. Okay, now, his bayin b'masha amu v'chaklos hanabatis b'dvom shalak alakem. So the Rambam says, just look, just reflect upon what it says in the Sabbatean Book of Agriculture. This is the book that the Rambam is repeatedly quoting. This seems to be his main source for what he knew about paganistic agricultural societies. Just look at what it says about the vineyard. Tim tzolosh and zois m'divrei hatzabayi. We see the Sabians actually make quote, and they say, quote, amu chachamim akdum kulam anavim tzivu v'itilush. They should play instruments during the festivals, and they should play instruments in front of the statues, the idols. If they play, you know, they play all these instruments, this will find favor in the eyes of the gods with the small G, Chas v'Shalom, not with a capital G. So therefore, if you play these instruments in front of all these idols, then in fact the gods will actually return the favor and will in fact bless man with agricultural success. And they would expand and expound with all these different promises. Okay? Ben Avtochas, I'm turning over the page, Tmuazu Amichas Yamim, I'm on page 530 now in the Schwartz edition. They will in fact actually not only will they promise agricultural success, they'll promise man with in fact Arichas Yamim, with long life, longevity, hachokas hapagoyim, that all different types of maladies and things which damage, which are injurious to people, will be distance. Hasaras hamachleis, people won't get diseases. Hulias sodais hamzareo shvias haperos, there'll be plenty of fruit and bountiful produce. Ad kon loshen divrei hatzabaya, until we have the same. So therefore, we have here an entire, in other words, an entire religious culture, which in fact makes use of ritual and makes use of temple service, and which makes use of all different types of moral didactic discourses, stressing the fact that service to the idols will ensure all different types of human success and prevention from those things which in fact are injurious to mankind. Okay, now, very nice. We see the Rambam is basically summarized in a very succinct way the paganistic culture which is lies at the in the background of the Sabbatean Book of Agriculture. But what does this have to do with anything? Now, says the Rambam, I'm now in the second paragraph, line 3 on page 530 in the Schwartz edition. Kasher is possible dvam elo at shenechshavu levadoyim. Now what happens is people thought that this was a certain thing. People believe these things. People believe that the more you worship these pagan gods, the more successful you will be. V'ratza ha'el yis'ala b'toy charachem aleinu, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? From his mercy on us. L'b'choy toz zois b'date, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to eliminate, to erase this paganistic consciousness, right? From our minds. U'l'salek ha'se yagia b'kufeinu ayyadei bitul oysam meisim koshim v'chasir ta'eles, and basically to take away any effort that we make, right, through nullifying all these acts, which basically according to the Rambam are absolutely totally worthless. V'nasalano Torah al yidei Moshe Rabbeinu. Ah, he gave us the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Hodienu v'shmoi yis'ala, Moshe Rabbeinu informed, the Torah informed us, she'im yabdu l'kacham l'psim eila, that in fact, on the contrary, v'nafoichu, on the contrary, pum fekel, the exact opposite, that if you worship these idols, she'ezei si'i b'shiatzu ha'kshamim, this will be a reason that the rain won't come. The land will be barren. Nothing will grow. And the fruit of the tree, I guess, will fall and I guess it'll get all smashed like all the Gemaras in the second paragraph of Metziah. Right? And different ailments will afflict people. And diseases. People will live short lives. In other words, they will be punished and will not, you know, their lives will be cut off. Now, what are we describing? Comes the Rambam with an innocuous statement and says, Elu ha'naisim shall divrei ha'bris ha'kiyakos Hashem v'choli. Incredible thing. What's the Rambam saying? The Rambam says, Elu divrei ha'bris is actually a pasuk that appears at the very end of chapter 28 in Deuteronomy, Chav Ches and Devorim. Let me read, the Rambam refers to this pasuk which says, Eile divrei habris. These are the words of the covenant. Asher tziva Hashem as Moshe, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made with Moshe Rabbeinu. V'chayz b'nei Yisrael be'eretz Moav, which he made with the Jewish people in Eretz Moav. Milvada bris, the news of the bris, shekotta mechoyim. Now, really, what does this pasuk come to tell me? This pasuk is coming at the end of an entire chapter. This is actually pasuk Samech Teh, 69. There are 69 pasukim which is describing all different types of terrible things that will happen if the Jewish people turn away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, namely, if they're Oved Avodah Zarah. What is the Rambam implying here? The Rambam is implying an incredible thing. What the Rambam is saying is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking the same sermons which were used by paganistic cultures and basically promising the same type of evil that will befall people. But instead of the evils befalling people because they are serving their gods with a cap with a small g, they in fact actually will come to people. In other words, instead of these evils befalling people as these paganistic ministers preached, would come to people for not serving their gods with a small g, all these evil, Moshe Rabbeinu, speaking the nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is promising the Jewish people these same exact evils if the Jewish people serve these other gods. In other words, what the Rambam is saying is that basically the section of Kalolos, curses of Kisavon, are really in fact the same type of sermon that was given in paganistic surroundings, but just here, it's given within the opposite point of view. Namely, if the Jewish people of Klal Yisrael worship other gods, then all these evils, which the pagans claimed would befall people, they didn't serve the gods. Here, Moshe Rabbeinu is informing Klal Yisrael that all these evils will befall the Jewish people if, in fact, they do serve these heathen gods. So, yeah.
It's a chiddush that always says such thing. It's mukhrach. Once you say that mitzvahs are connected to avodah zarah, to arena of avodah zarah, so of course God's got to play to what these priests
But see, what the Rambam is doing is interesting. What the Rambam is doing is he's looking at all the power. What the Rambam is doing? The Rambam is doing actually. I mean, he's actually publicizing, or actually he's putting out a very interesting study, and I would call comparative anthropology. What the Rambam is saying is that if you look at the entire chapter in Parshas Ki Zavai, the Rambam is going to be saying this. He said, look, I look at the top parts of Kisavai. I see what the Torah is, you know, is threatening us with. I look at this book, the book of Sabbatian agriculture, right? And in fact, actually, right, I see that actually the same things are actually being threatened if they don't worship the gods. So the Rambam is coming to the conclusion ipso facto then why? Is that what is being done in the Chumashes, we're taking the same, I'm not saying chas v'shalom, the same words of the sermon. We're taking the type, the sermon which is threatening the very same things, and we're using it in jest on the side of a Kadosh Baruch Hu and God.
I mean, the only strange thing about that is that normally we would have said that God came first and the pagans came second. He's saying pagans came first and God wrote the Torah.
Of course, because that's the
Rambam. Once you say the whole purpose of the Torah is to win us over the Zohar, it's mukhra.
Okay, fine. But the Rambam is actually proving it. In other words, the Rambam didn't make up a theory, well, you know, this must have been a sermon. The Rambam says, I looked in the Sabbatian book of agriculture, I saw all these things, etc. And that's, in fact, the fact actually very, very interesting. If you look what the Rambam says, if we're actually go clearly, what is the Rambam saying? They entered into their pagan temples, and they gathered there, and the guy would come and give a sermon. Just like a rabbi comes along and gives a shmuz, gives a drasha. Now the Rambam goes on and says, Atatim shenoyse zechoyze b'chol ha'teira, b'chol ha'teira. Says the Rambam, this in fact, I'm repeating itself in the entire Torah, Kolayma shem b'bruchan avoyitz chachom is chayim atzeres k'shamim v'chul ben ha'oretz, kilkul ha'matzovim, In other words, basically, well, for example, there are klolas in other places. For example, there are klolas at the end of the klolas in, for example, in Bechukoisai. In other words, in all these places where the Torah proclaims natural disasters, says the Rambam, this is being done as a reaction or as a way of weaning the Jewish people off the very same type of threats and sermons that were actually promulgated within the paganistic culture at the time. Now, he says, because shlo yavdu oisam yivdu lavodis ha'el mischayvim yiridas kishomim puri ha'adoma tikkun ha'matzovim puri ha'saguf ha'gris yomim hefek ma sha'oidi avadazor ha'yu no'imin la'anashim kidei sh'yavu oisam kishere ha'shater ha'saras oisa deus u'mechiyas ikvuseha k'bo she'vanim. The purpose of the Torah, of course, as the Rambam, is to do away with idolatrous ideas and viewpoints and to bring us to the belief of God. Okay, so now, what has the Rambam done? The Rambam basically has literally taken entire sections of the Torah Shebichtav and made the claim that these sections actually are, at least the theme of these sections, are paganistic sermons which threaten people for not worshipping idols. And in fact, what Moshe Rabbeinu did, of course, B'tzibi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to take these very same sermons with the same threats and just make a slightly different threat, namely, if one worships idols and doesn't worship the true God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Rambam is claiming, okay? So what has he done? What he's done is I think really, in a certain sense, this is the first person in Jewish history who was actually claiming that sections of the Torah are in fact taken, or at least the themes of them are taken from paganistic idolatrous cultures, and they're just being used right from a different vantage point. That's what the Rambam is claiming. Okay, now, Perek Lamed Aleph, chapter 31. Now, it's very, very interesting that we have to understand that the Rambam is actually advancing very revolutionary, almost frightening ideas. Okay? X-rated ideas. And in other words, to say that the Torah, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu commands us with underlying rational motives is one thing. But to actually read into the verses and understand them in a historicist sense, that these verses were actually sermons. I mean, now what's interesting is that, you know, to say that is much more revolutionary, much frightening. And I think what the Rambam is going to do is going to step back. And that's the part, that's the actually the purpose of small chapters of the Mer Nevuchim. The purpose of all chapters is basically to work in increments. Now, it's very interesting, what I want to point out is that the Rambam actually brought the curses in Parshas Kisavai. We all know that the Gemara says in Megillah, I mean, those of us who don't learn Chumash, you know from the Gemara in Megillah, that in fact there are also curses in Teres Kahanim, in Vayikra. But the Gemara speaks about whether the Baal Kere, you know, can make a hefsek between the curses of Parshas Kisavai and the hefsek in Vayikra. The Gemara distinguishes that these were said between Shemesh and Rabbeinu, etc. Famous sugya in Megillah there. What I want to say is, why did the Rambam quote from Parshas Kisavai and not from Kugoysai? I mean, naturally you would think that Kugoysai should come first. It's a Vayikra, it's a Leviticus. Why should the Rambam go to Deuteronomy? What I want to claim is that the emphasis of the Rambam is on Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's what Rambam says. Nosu lo Torah ayedei Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu is, in fact, the central figure here. The Rambam has said, for example, in 524, in Perach of Tess, that, for example, that the Kasher Nisden Devor La'odon Hanaviyah, Moshe Rabbeinu is the central figure who is, when the Torah is given through Moshe Rabbeinu, then in fact Moshe Rabbeinu is the person who commands us to destroy idolatrous practices, to smash their temples and their altars. And the Rambam has repeatedly used Moshe Rabbeinu. For example, in chapter 27, page 517, as we discussed this, in fact, the understanding of the rational, underlying rational, reasoning, I don't like reasons for the Torah, is basically Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam says it on page 517. In fact, he also mentions this in other places too. In other words, the central figure here is Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, even though the tzivoy, the commandment, comes from God, and we're basically ourselves the fact that, in fact, these commandments are divine, but the fact that the rational approach is a feature of Torah's Moshe Rabbeinu. So we have two things. The rational approach, understanding that mitzvahs are underlying reason, is a feature of Torah's Moshe, the Rambam has mentioned. And number two, the war, the campaign against idolatry in the world, is, in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu. So where should the Rambam take his proof? In Devarim, the Gemara says explicitly in Megillah that the curses were cursed from Moshe Rabbeinu. I mean, there's a machlokes what that means. Look at the Arachayim, Hakadosh, the beginning of Devarim, and of course the Minchas Alaz, we know, called them an apikayis and put them in cherem. I don't want to go into. I try to avoid controversy, but it's that type of controversy. I don't want to get caught in between the Arachayim and the Minchas Alaz. But the fact is that I think the Rambam chose the Mishnah Torah. Because in the Mishnah Torah, which is in fact Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean Shechina Medavim B'Tei Groinoi, but it's more, in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu speaking in first person. So clearly, it's Moshe Rabbeinu's role which comes in the forefront in Devarim, and that's for this reason that Rambam chose the Klolos in Parshas Kisavai as opposed to the Klolos in other part of the Torah, and especially the ones in the Hukosa. Okay, now. We're a little bit shocked by this approach. So the Rambam's going to back up a little bit. Perek Lamed Aleph, chapter 31, I'm now on page 530 in the Shvat edition. Says the Rambam, Yesh anoshim shekosher lahem matan tam levitzim and the mitzvahs. Some people have a hard time with understanding that there are reasons for the mitzvahs. Rav now is going to act as a psychologist a little bit. In other words, he says, I see you have problems with it. Let me take care of you. It's better for most people that they should understand things that are commanded. Most people, in other words, do not really want to be informed of the rational reasons for commandments. Most people prefer that the commandments basically be opaque and be and resist any intellectual understanding. Says the Rambam, but what is it due to? This is due to a certain disease, it's a sickness. Shem choshim enav sheseyim, she'ein heim zugolim l'dabar aleh, v'neim etivim l'habiyah. In other words, they suffer from a sickness, which basically they can't speak about it, and they can't even express it. It was a sickness. I mean, they don't say this to the Rambam, but the Rambam is pronouncing them as being sick, and Rambam, as a doctor, is actually, in fact, discussing what is the source of the ailment. In other words, their view, I mean, the way people think is that if in fact the mitzvahs are actually helpful in coming to help, to alleviate, or to improve a situation, as the Rambam is claiming in the Tamei HaMitzvahs, in other words, we're being commanded for these mitzvahs in order to, you know, in other words, in order to achieve a certain purpose within, you know, the human culture and the human society. So you think, well, you're making the Torah into a very human Torah. It's as if like the mitzvahs are actually, it's as if the mitzvahs, the commandments, have their source in a person who reasons, who's a Baal Seichel, a person who reasons, who thinks logically and reasonably. Very good. In other words, if the mitzvahs have a rationale, so you would think it's a person who's making the mitzvahs. It was if the mitzvahs appear to be totally absurd, it was a pig, in other words, they have no human being, you feel better. It comes from God. In other words, most people feel that that sacrificing your intellect and not thinking is close to godliness. Whereas rational thinking, right, is basically not close to the divine, but rather smacks of what you call human intervention. So, says the Rambam, people who think like this basically are people who can't think. They're basically weak intellects. Says the Rambam, Be'enei chol shor seichel eile ha'adam hu, kiviyochol, sholom yeisem yeitzor, kivyei sho'adam hu, Says the Rambam like this. Of course, the truth is the opposite, but the Rambam makes a very interesting argument. The Rambam says, why are people afraid of saying that the mitzvahs are coming with a clear, rational program and purpose in taking, you know, the situation as it exists in the world and bringing it to an improvement? Rambam says, why? Because if you think like that, then basically it's like you don't believe in God. You believe that, you know, you just think it's coming by an anthropological social engineer, right? In other words, people feel much better, says the Rambam, if there's no, you know, absolute reading reasons of the mitzvahs. They feel, that sounds more divine. That sounds like God. Now, says the Rambam, actually, what you're doing is you think that, in other words, so the Rambam says, you think this disease, Rambam called a disease of people of weak intellects. The Rambam says, this disease, it has its origin is because they think that you're degrading God. You're making God into a Baal Seichel, into an intelligent person, and really God is someone whose intellect cannot be comprehended by human beings. Says the Rambam, I'm saying the opposite. You're degrading God, that you're degrading God. Why are you degrading God? Because you're making God into this totally absurd fanatic who has no reason for doing something. He just does things on the spur of the moment. He acts irrationally. He might do things which injure people or don't better people, right? Whereas I think, says the Rambam, the contrary. I respect God. In other words, I'm of the opinion that God acts with seichel rationally. In other words, they're attributing irrationality to God, which, of course, according to the Rambam, is the greatest insult you could possibly heap upon anywhere, anybody, including God. So, in other words,
irrationality, not irrationality.
No, the Rambam says, if you say that God's acts do not have an underlying rationale, it means it's just things on the spur of the moment. In other words, he might do things which might injure people. In other words, that's what the Rambam says. Look carefully, more carefully at the language. In other words, the Rambam says, what degrades God more? Do we degrade God more by calling him a person who acts irrationally on the spur of the moment with any forethought? Or do we degrade God more by claiming that he acts with reason, with intellect? So the Rambam says clearly, to ascribe God irrational actions, which have actually no purpose, no meaning, and they hit and miss, that clearly degrades God more than ascribing to him actions which are thoughtful, with have rational intentions and rational agendas. That's what the Rambam is saying. In other words, if you think really about this, you're degrading God more. So I remember one time that my father-in-law had a certain person wrote a book about Gedolim. And he wrote about them in the Litvish yeshivas. You know, the Litvish yeshivas, many times when questions were asked, so the Rosh yeshivas were known for giving the Litvish Rosh yeshivas were known for giving very sharp answers. Very sharp answers. I mean, whoever's been to a real Litvish yeshiva, I don't know if those are around anymore, but I certainly went to, and the Rosh yeshiva would give very sharp answers to people. So someone, you know, came back to him and says, what are you doing? You know, you're degrading them. You're degrading them. So my father-in-law answered them and said, you want to know something? But everybody knows this was common practice. I mean, in every yeshiva, everybody knows the great Gedolei yeshivas. He says very sharply. So if you say it's displaying bad midas, you're degrading him. In other words, if you say it displays bad midas, who's degrading him more, me or you? You claim it's bad midas, but since this was common practice, you say, so what are you saying? The Gedolei yeshivas, all that bad midas? I'm saying on the contrary. It didn't come from bad midas. It came from a love of learning. And from this love of learning they were able to communicate this to the Talmidim. The whole point of the sharp language was just that they got excited at this love of learning, and this was infectious. This was what produced Gedolim. So in other words, who's degrading more, me and you? That's what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam says, because you're a sick person, because you feel that if something is opaque rationally, it's unintelligible, then, you know, if something is rational, it doesn't feel divine, I'd rather have, you know, God be irrational. On the contrary, what are you making God? You're making God into this being who basically acts at the spur of the moment, doesn't think about anything, it's hit and miss. He acts totally randomly. So the Rambam, I'm showing greater respect for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a very similar argument that the Rambam makes in the Perash HaMishnayos. The Rambam says, clearly Perash HaMishnayos, that whatever there's a machloik, whatever there's a feud in Chazal, we know that Chazal could not have had a Messiah. They could have had a tradition. Because the Rambam says they had a tradition, why would there be a machloik? Why this built? So the Rambam says it's an opinion of certain people say on the contrary. In other words, on the contrary, that of course Chazal, everything they said, they had a Messiah, they had a tradition. Except that what? Well, there's a machloikas, is the tradition was about forgotten. Says the Rambam, you're trying to protect Chazal by saying they have a tradition, you're insulting them. Because there's so many disputes in Chazal, it turns out they got it wrong half the time. So in other words, what you're doing is insulting Chazal. They forgot half of what they learned, they didn't get half of it right. Who knows of the other half? Well, there's not machloikas, is what they got it right either. So it says the Rambam, what you're doing is you're undermining the entire faith in Chazal. What the Rambam is saying is, you know, with this sickness of trying to make things, you know, divine by, in fact, rejecting any reason to commandments, or everything has to be a total Messiah tradition, what you're doing is you're making God kivyachol into an idiot, you're making Chazal into idiots who forgot half what they learned, who didn't understand anything, and what you're doing is you're insulting. You're actually degrading. So, in other words, it's sort of like a beigel lishma. It's not even, in other words, what you're doing is you're trying to preserve the integrity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the integrity of Chazal. What you're doing is you're making HaKadosh Baruch Hu into a being which, I'm quite to say it, it's not even worth worshipping. You're making Chazal to people who's not even worth learning anything. So, in other words, that's what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is saying is, whenever we make a defense, either of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of God, or of Chazal, or of anything, the defense, we have to understand that we don't defend things out of emotion. Out of emotion, we're naturally drawn to the fact that things have to be impenetrable and understandable, right? And things have to be communicated, you know, meticulously, word for word for every generation. But the fact is that that defense, when aligned with the metzias, with the actual facts of the field, all they do is basically destroy the entire belief system in the Torah. So that's really what the Rambam is saying over here.
The Rambam is being very disingenuous, though. This is really Halal's point. Those who assume that we don't understand the reasons for the mitzvahs, it's not that God is irrational or random or no purpose, but that the reasons are higher than we can figure out.
No, but he's saying that. He says, Ela mitzubal ela sois ma'ashas yasso lo mi'elano. He's commenced to do things that help for us.
But I'm saying the Rambam's not being... not mukhrach like the Rambam's saying here.
What do you mean? What do you mean? You want to argue against the Rambam?
Right.
No, arguments are, yeah, what
right. The alternative to the Rambam is not that God's an idiot or God's making it up or God's unpredictable, but that God has his own reasons that we can't begin to fathom. They're beyond us.
Except for either, but if you understand, then you're about that.
Right. In other words, they're irrational from our perspective. They're meaningless, random from our perspective. But I'll leave it to Emmas. But see, don't they have a real purpose?
Okay, this is, so in other words, there are two answers to what you're saying.
In other words, I should be mucking
myself. Let me repeat what you're saying. I think it's a good question. But the question that's being raised is the following question. The question being raised is, the Rambam is saying is that either God is rational or he acts like an idiot.
Right.
So, the claim is no, he doesn't act like an idiot. He acts in a way that you don't understand him. Okay?
And the man, I should be mucking myself.
And therefore, I want to give the two answers. First of all, says the Rambam, right? The Rambam says, first of all, is that even though it might be super rational, but the fact is that he seems to act like an idiot. In other words, basically the world is random. In other words, you're making claims about God, but in fact, actually, in other words, I mean, it could be I don't understand God, but the fact is the world is understandable. In other words, the world that I look at has no rhyme or reason. So the Rambam, we could say for the Rambam that even though, in fact, in other words, there are certain people who can live with, you know, who can look at things which are contradictory, which, you know, for example, I can live in a world, I'm in a room right now, which is white and gray. Okay? Someone says to me, the room is really red. Ah, I think it's white and gray. No, it's really red. In other words, you don't really understand colors very well. If you really understood colors very well, you'd think the room is red. Well, there are some people who would actually buy that. But says most people will probably question at one time, or in either their lives or their general lives, hey, wait a second, maybe it's not true. Maybe this person is putting me on. In other words, really when he says it's red, right? In other words, he's claiming that it's red, but I see it's white and brown. I can't live my life in a contradiction, which means that ultimately, in other words, I can say ultimately, what's happening is that a person, because of the nature of a person's ability to reason and intellectual size, in other words, a person can't live with a lie for so long. In other words, at the very end, he's going to come to realize, no, maybe they're putting me on. Maybe, in fact, it is white and brown, white and gray, and the people telling me it's red are just bluffing me. That's fooling me. That's number one. You don't buy that argument.
I mean, that's for sure. That's what the Rambam would say. But the Matthias is that many people...
But I want to make... That's one way I want to say that.
The Matthias is not like the Rambam.
Okay, however, I would claim even a more thing. The question is, right, I'm expected to come to belief to God. Let's go to the very foundations of belief in Judaism. I'm expected to come to believe in God.
You mean without
Masorah? Let's assume there's a Masorah. In other words, even if there was a Masorah, I'm expected to have a reason for believing that Masorah. In other words, whatever I believe in.
I mean, that's the Rambam again. That's Rambam Lashitasa.
No, once again, forget about the Rambam Lashitasa.
So why?
Let me finish. I'm arguing empirically. In other words, if I expect a person to believe in something, the person has to have reasons for believing in something.
Many religions are based on the opposite.
Okay, No. Even if I'm asked, I'm a step before you. Even if I'm asked to believe in something which is nonsensical, but there have to be, the Rambam would claim that every person has to have reasons for committing himself to believe something nonsensical. In other words, no person, you know, if I look back deep into the recesses of a person's thought, no person is going to do something without sight of a motive which makes sense. In other words, a person might decide that, for example, I'm going to become, you know, let's say a Baal Tshuva, decides, okay, I'm going to believe in God. I'm going to take up on this, the system of Judaism, this Beseira, my parents are against me, my friends are against me. So in other words, I have a reason. In other words, even if what
that's
I believe, what?
Get
in other words, it makes sense to me. It makes sense for me to believe in this thing. In other words, even if I can't prove thing, even though I might not buy some of the arguments that prove things empirically, but nonetheless, there has to be a sensible reason for me to commit myself to such a belief. In other words, I would claim that every person who does something with some type of an explanation. A person is not, in other words, a person is not going to jump into fire and kill himself unless there's some type of a sensible explanation, a reason for him doing so.
I mean, there's many cults. What is it, cult Davidian? They all killed themselves.
Okay, but if you ask them to explain what they were doing, I'm sure they can give you an answer. In other words, a reason. In other words, what I'm saying is like this. What I'm saying is, every person who does something has to have some system of justification. The person doesn't justify things for himself. In other words, I don't think that if people don't act, people have intellects, people will justify. It might be that might justify things which are, you know, which I would look at as being an absurd thing, but they're going to have some type of justification. I think what the Rambam is saying is the following. What the Rambam is saying is that if I'm coming to believe in the Torah, to believe in tradition, to believe in, of course, the Rabbim, the belief in a monotheistic God for something to be proven, but even whatever I'm coming to believe in, if I claim that that belief makes sense, at what level has to make sense? If I've convinced myself that it's true because it makes sense, so it doesn't, says the Rambam, it's absurd to say, right, that I'm going to choose to believe in something that makes total nonsense. In other words, since belief has to, at one point empirically, make sense to the individual, why should I think that that which I've convinced myself to believe in, right, is basically something which in fact doesn't make sense, which in fact contradicts everything that I say. In other words, to say that there are things that I don't understand, that's one thing. I could say there's a super intellect. For example, the Rambam speaks about in the third chalik of the Mori Nevuchim, that for example, the Rambam says a person is always rewarded if he does the commandments, and he's punished if he does sin. So the Rambam says, we don't understand, for example, tzaddik v'ra'alai. Says the Rambam, God's intellect is infinite. He knows more things than we do. That's the Rambam's basic answer. We can't understand that. So in other words, but the Rambam does say, but that's the exception. In other words, Sadik Veraloi is the exception. That's what the Rambam says. Mostly, for example, even though, for example, sometimes people get disease, but most people are healthy. In other words, we have a notion, right? Why, in other words, I'm willing to believe in something despite that there are exceptions, because the majority of nature, the majority of time, I'm healthy. In other words, if a person, chas v'sholem, gets sick, but the fact is that most of his life he's healthy. Most people are healthy. In other words, the Rambam says, I have an understanding that things work rationally well, work the way they work most of the time. In other words, if there's tzadik v'ra'alai is an exception. A riot to that's the pshat is because the Hasidish himself says in Siman Beis, and since today we don't see things as being exceptional, we don't see any difference between Ashkoch and Tzadikim or Rishon and Tzadikim, so the Hasidish says those things are apikoros b'zvanas, that's what the Hasidish says, which means, in other words, the fact is that when I look at the world, it works most of the time.
Your day at Siman Beis.
What? Yeah, your day at Siman Beis. It works most of the time. In other words, there are exceptions. So if there are exceptions, I could say the exceptions are ascribed to a super rational intellect who knows more than I do, v'shalom ha'yisrael. But if, in other words, so then I'm willing to accept that there's a greater intellect, lo machshavoyse machshavoyseichem. If chas v'shalom a person dies young, so I could say not every young person is dying. Most people who are young live. There's an exception who are dying. So I'm willing, you know what, it makes sense. Most people are healthy. And that's also a miracle in a certain sense. I wouldn't say like whatever it is. So in other words, if there is exceptions, the exceptions I can attribute to a higher intellect. But if in fact I'm positing that there is no design behind any act, that there's no basis for any rationality in believing anything. In other words, I'm willing to entertain exceptions, but to say that nothing makes sense, right? So there's no basis upon which to believe anything. That's, I think, what the Rambam's point would be.
I was going to say, if the Rambam were alive today, he'd be turning over in his grave. But the truth is that the Kalam, I mean, that's the whole message of the Kalam, that nothing makes any sense and don't try and understand.
And the Rambam's attack at the Kalam.
I understand, but most people, the Kalam had a lot more followers than the Rambam did.
Well, I'm not sure he had more followers, but in any case, the Rambam says...
I mean, he can't be claiming that this is for most people.
In any case, no, I'll tell you the truth. But the Rambam is saying the following thing. First of all, the Rambam says, at the very end of the Vulchem, if I would have written this book just for one person, it was worth it. But you're right. Okay, how about like this? I want to explain like this. What the Rambam is saying is, the average person believes things not because they make sense, because he feels better. In other words, I feel better to know I can't understand anything God does. Oh. I feel better, I'm going to say. But don't say there's a rational belief as such. In other words, says the Rambam, right, that if really we examine our belief in a Kodesh Baruch Hu in a rational fashion, then it turns out the why do we believe in God, why do we believe in anything in Judaism? Because it makes sense. However, says the Rambam, people who prefer to believe that nothing makes sense, says the Rambam, it's a psychology, it's a sickness. He calls it a disease. He calls it a bakhla. He calls it a disease. Because people somehow feel better when they don't understand things, right? Because it's either some type of a psychological mechanism, defense mechanism, or it's a human sickness which somehow makes people shudder or fear God, and therefore they're able to conduct their lives, right, in a much more quiet or reassured manner. That's what the Rambam is saying. And what the Rambam is saying is, you're not, to sacrifice your intellect, you're not advancing an argument that makes sense. But what you're doing is, you're advancing a psychosis. You're a sick person psychologically. You're everything that all the psychologists of religion say about you, right? And you're looking for some type of a psychological, stick, in other words, in order to justify what are really all types of fears and psychological trepidations which have nothing to do with any type of intellectual thought. And that's what the Rambam is saying.
But the MS is, for most people, that's what works.
Okay, fine. What?
He's screaming at the wall.
Okay,
he's screaming in secret code that no one can understand except the one person who's smarter than...
Right. Okay, fine. In any case, that's what the Rambam is saying. Now, why did the Rambam do this at this point? Like I said before, put it this way. Whether God acts with reason or not, I'm going to let the audience decide themselves. But I claim the Rambam acts with reason. Life imitates the Mirna Vuchim. Now, comes the Rambam with a more daring analysis of the Chumash now. In other words, this is the Rambam is padding me, preparing me psychologically for the next stage of the Mirna Vuchim. The Rambam is going to actually look at verses and prove to me that the Torah understands itself to be rational from a non-religious, secular point of view. How does he do this? Very good. On page 531, this is the end of chapter 31, in the 531 in the Shuot edition, says the Rambam, Hu nala ma'od, hadover shayna, kol ha'kavon ilo yelana, the whole purpose is to help us. K'moish banu es devarei, l'toiv lana kol ha'yamam l'achinu k'yam hazeh, for Omer it says, Asher yishbun es kol ha'elu, the Goyim are going to hear about all these chokim, the goyim going to hear of all these statutes. What a wise nation, says the Rambam. What do you mean the goyim are going to look at this and say, what a wise nation? In other words, it might be that the faithful are content to be idiots. But the Torah says is that the goyim are going to look at the Jewish people, see them practicing all of their statutes, and say, what a wise people. Harisha Amam El Foolish, says the Rambam. The Torah says explicitly, yeah, the Rambam is learning really Pshuta Shabikra. This is understanding the Chumash in Chumash terms. This is like, right? Sha'afil Hachukim Kula. All the Chukim, Mayrim, are coming to tell us, Be'ene Kola Umay, the nation of nations, that they were created B'chachma V'sfuna, with wisdom. Ah, all those Rashis, the Pash, Aparaduma, and tzitzis, the goyim laugh at us. The Rambam would probably say that's the second opinion that believes that the mitzvahs have no reason. But you want to know something? Those opinions are not based upon any psukim verses. They're just based upon Chazal's interpretation of mitzvahs. But look at the Chumash says. The Chumash says explicitly that the goyim are going to look at our statues, going to say, what a wise people, says the Rambam. If the goyim say it's wise, how can you possibly say it makes no sense and it's stupid without a reason? So, says the Rambam.
Gemara has an answer and says they're talking about Tkufa's.
So, in other words, no. That's Yechov Lefri Amen. No, there the Rashi said in Haman Aleph and Shabbos were required to teach them these types of things. That's something different. But what I'm saying is, the Chumash is telling us. Now, we're going to finish over here. We only have a few minutes. But we see what has the Rambam done. The Rambam has actually looked at the verses from a very, very, I would call it simple, but shot-like level, he would say like two, from a historian's point of view, and say, listen clearly what the Chumash is saying. The Chumash is actually telling you, despite some of these chazals, it's a second opinion, of course, is the Rambam, that in fact, the chukim are things which are rational. Look what the Chumash says. Even the goyim are going to testify to that. In Yom Tov, we're going to go actually deeper into this entire methodology with the Rambam's creating the Murna Vulchim. And this we'll do in Yom Tov. Until next time, from an undisclosed place in Yerushalayim, Kodesh, Kol Tov.